Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day to you all again. I'm Randy Dean. I'm the No BS Bishop. I'm here to be alive to love. All lesser values for me are simply BS. I want to live my life in the full vulnerability, the full openness of love. I don't want to live my life in the wastelands of manipulation or managing others or controlling others. Love alone is the credible value that'll keep me away from thinking that I can save other people, manage other people, manipulate other people, make them think what I think. Love keeps me free to be a full and productive human being. Love keeps me in that satisfied place, not of self-satisfaction, but in a satisfied place that when I love, love alone is enough. When I really loved, I'm not just saying, you know, a passing, well, kind of love. No. I believe in the capital L of love. Love is divine. Love is God. God is love. And love ought to be spelled with a capital L. I don't look at love as a lowercase L, as the passing fancy. No. Love to me is the value of my life, and it keeps me in a satisfied condition that if I live right there, then I'll be happy, I'll be healthy, I'll be productive, I'll find my place in this life. Love will make a way for me where there seems to be no way. And like an old gospel song says, love lifted me. When nothing else could do it, love lifted me. So today I want to talk to you one more time about this big subject of love. I've been after this now for over a year here on the No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. I'm more and more convinced that this is an inexhaustible, it cannot be exhausted topic. This topic of love holds an eternal a volume, a treasure of perspective. And the reason for that is that love is divine. God is love. Love is God. And when we go there, we're going into the eternal. So when we go to the eternal, it can be kind of daunting. It can be somewhat overwhelming. I understand that. But I know in that daunting, overwhelming sense, there's an invitation. Come in here. Come up here and let's explore. Let's look deeply into these beauties that some of us just haven't spent the kind of quality time we should. So today I'm going to talk to you about this quality of love. Love sees, S-E-E-S. Love sees. What does love see? Well, love sees the best. That's one thing. But I want to take you through some thoughts, kind of in a random way here, a freestyling way, if you will. I'm convinced that what I see isn't really what's real, because what is real is often a mirage. Sometimes what I think is real, I should say, it's just a mirage. It's a put on. So when I'm, you know, if I'm looking at somebody that's being overly kind, overly something toward me, they could be manipulative, but I'm called to understand through love that they might be manipulative, but I can still love them and love them for who they are, not for what I have been manipulated into believing. See, love is tough. Love is strong. Love manages the negativities of others without falling into the pit of becoming negative itself. What is wrong with someone else doesn't have to become my wrong. I can't afford to sell my soul to the lowest bidder. When they're bitter, when they're angry, when they're cynical, if I sell my soul to the argument that I have to change them, well, then I've become them on some level. Love keeps me at a higher level because love sees. Love has vision. Love has a larger vision than just the small confines of what appears to be real. I've quoted from Barbara Brown Taylor many, many times through this broadcast, but it's worth noting here again. The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love your neighbor as the self. To encounter another human being, not as someone to fix, to change, to use, to help, to save, to enroll, to convince or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself, if you will allow it. This is what I see as love. This is me now talking. It's not Barbara Brown Taylor. I believe this is why love is so enormously valuable, because it springs me from the prison of myself, if I'll allow it, so that I'm not looking at others as a project that I have to manage. I've got to control. I've got to fix. I've got to convert. I've got to do something to them. But all I need to do for others is to see them with the eyes of love, to see the world around me with the eyes of love. But that hard spiritual work, oh boy, that hard spiritual work, especially if someone is not returning that love, that hard spiritual work is about freeing myself from the prison of me. You see, I believe God loves the world exactly as it is, not the way he wants it to become, but I see a God who loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not as it would become, but as it was. In fact, that was an incredible portion of the motivation to give of himself, to give of his son to the world for exactly what it was, because what it was and what it is a needy world, a world in need of what? Love. You guessed it. A world in need of an eternal, magnificent, phenomenal expression of what love really is. So when I live this life, this one and only life, I want to love this world precisely as it is, not the way I want it to become or how I could make it to be. I don't want to see people as the us versus them. I want to see all people through the eyes of love. Love sees. I want you to make that something of a mantra, a meditation. Love sees. And remind yourself that what you see can often be a mirage. It can be an image that somebody's trying to portray. It could be a false image. It could be when somebody's angry, they want you to see how big and bad they are, you know. And then if you see it through the eyes of love, you recognize how wounded and hurt they really are, because they want you to see how big and bad they are. See, I don't need anybody to be convinced of how big and bad I am. I just don't have that need in my life. I'm not impressed with myself when I'm angry. I really am not. I'm frankly quite disappointed when I let anger take over. And I know when I've allowed anger to take over, it's revealing an insecurity. It's revealing a pain inside of me. It's revealing something else that's just gotta get better. It's gotta get well. And so I go after my wholeness, my health, and move along. You know, that's it. Just move along and let love see a bigger picture. So as God loves the world precisely for what it is, he is not loving as a frail codependent being, but he's loving perfectly. So you ask, you know, what, do you want me to love perfectly? Yeah, I do. I do. I expect that of myself. You know, there's a scripture that says God is perfect and he would want us to join him in his perfection. That isn't to say perfectionism, but his perfection is wholeness. The perfection of wholeness is what we're invited to. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, is what Jesus said. So let our love be perfect. Let our love be perfect. Well, you say, well, I don't know how to do that. Okay, well, then let's get in the school of love. Let's get in the school, the education, the information, the understanding, the powers, the significance of love. Well, you know, you should listen to this radio broadcast week in and week out if you want to get into that school, the school of love. The school of love will take you outside yourself and move you into a larger picture of the world. Love sees. That's the theme of this broadcast. Love sees. And you know, when love sees, love looks for deeper purposes. Love looks. Love is searching. Love doesn't just take a casual glance. Love sees to the core, to the root, not for judgment, not for explanation, but for the capacity and the full complement of being able to love someone, something that isn't being very lovable at the moment. When you see somebody who rages, for instance, I mentioned anger a moment ago. You see a raging soul. You see somebody who has a consistent habit of a trip trigger, a short fuse. Learn to see through the eyes of love. There's something inside that soul, something inside so cheated, so truncated, so bruised, so beaten, so afraid that they lash out at a moment's notice. When you see it for what it is, you understand something beyond yourself or beyond self-defense or beyond needing to win somebody, but just to let them rage if they got a rage, let them get it out of their system and move along. Will they cause harm to you? Likely. Will they cause physical harm? Well, if that's the case, there are three numbers on your phone to call, 911. Always remember that. Love does not stick around for a physical beating. Love calls for help. I need you to understand that. I'm a reporter. I'm a mandated reporter in this world. So if somebody tells me they've been abusive, somebody tells me they've been abused, well, then I'm a mandated reporter, and I will tell the officials, the powers that be in any county or state that I'm in, that somebody's been physically abusive. So I'm not talking about physical abuse here, because there's one simple way to deal with that. Turn it in. But there's beyond the physical abuse, there's emotional abuse. You know, we know sticks and stones, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Not true. Not true. I can recover better from sticks and stones than I can from words that cause me harm. I will rise and shine, though, when I see that somebody who's lashing out, see that somebody has got to win an argument. Somebody's got to have the last word. Somebody's got to push my button. Somebody's got to make sure that they're in control through their anger and their rage. If I can see through the eyes of love, I will see beyond the angry person and see the hurt child inside a 50-year-old human being. I'll see the hurt child that's inside there throwing a fit because they're afraid. You see, fear has torment, but perfect love will cast out fear. And sometimes that casting out of fear isn't so much just on a moment, but it may be on the receiving end of what they want to give you is fear. If you can love perfectly while they're raging, then you'll manage your life out and away from the fear of their rage. So love sees. Love is looking past the ordinary, looking beyond the simplistic explanations into something more expansive. I almost said something more loving, and I guess that's true. It's a circular, rational view. Stagnant living will tempt you into seeing shallow. Stagnant living will tempt you to be to do less work, to get kind of lazy about it. I'm tired of looking. I'm tired of seeing. Now, I want to be quick to say here that if you're feeling tired, well, then rest. Take a break. Give yourself the opportunity to step aside from the hard work of all these things that I talk about week in and week out. I understand that. I need that myself. I have friends who are professional counselors. I'm not a professional counselor. I'm not a licensed counselor, but I have done a lot of pastoral counsel in my life. And I know that if I don't do what professional counselors call staffing, that I can get tired in the counseling setting. Staffing means I may leave a situation and talk to somebody else in my profession or in the venue that I'm working in. And I just kind of unload what I just heard. I don't expose confidentialities. I don't tell secrets that shouldn't be told. That would be inappropriate and absolutely wrong and unloving. But I need to staff the feelings. I need to talk to somebody who can help me with what I felt after I just had an encounter with somebody who's desperately hurting. When you've been available to love, you'll get tired. You will grow weary. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I have no illusions that love is inexhaustible. Love will get you to a point where you just want to set a spell, right? You just want to go out on the front porch with a glass of iced tea and just stare at the world as it goes by. I get it. I totally get it. Trust me on that one. But after you've rested a spell and after you've given yourself a time to breathe like we do on this broadcast every time we get together, if you give yourself a little time to breathe and just be still, don't stay there for long. When you gain energy to go back and see with the eyes of love. That's today's theme. Love sees. I don't know if I said it clearly or not earlier, but I want to say it clear now. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. We don't see the world as it is. We're seeing it through eyes that have measurements based on our experiences. We see the world through experiences that are bruised and narrow, or maybe they're expansive. But we do see the world beyond just the realities we think we see. Because the realities we think we see are often illusions and mirages. I know I said that earlier here. They are often a mirage. They're often just a sleight of hand that we need to be aware that we're being distracted, sometimes just intentionally distracted. You know that's what magic tricks are all about. That's what a magician does. They're not producing real magic. They're producing the magic of a sleight of hand. They're causing you to look a different way so that you don't see the trick they're pulling on your eyes. Remember that. You know, that's what happens with any kind of narcissistic human being who's trying to manage and manipulate you. They're trying to get you to look away from the real problem rather than looking at the solutions. So understand that you and I need love as the crosshairs. You know, if you've done any target shooting at all, you know you've got to set those crosshairs so carefully on the bullseye. That's seeing where you're aiming, seeing what you aim at, seeing the full spectrum of what you're looking at. You know, if you're a hunter, you just don't grab the gun and shoot or pull the bow and arrow and there's fire. No. You look carefully at what your aim is for, and you look beyond the target, making sure that you don't accidentally shoot beyond the target toward a home or toward a pedestrian or other people. You know your area. You pay attention to your surroundings because that's what love does. Love sees. What are what's the collateral damage that I could cause if I aim poorly? What's the collateral damage of my rage or my reaction? Understanding that is understanding love sees. And love sees not as we want to see, but love sees the beauty of what could possibly be if I will be patient, if I'll take it step at a time. That I can't, you know, I can't make this, I can't take this recipe for a cake and bake it in 5 minutes. I can't even stir the ingredients in 5 minutes, much less bake it. We're looking at life through the lens of a recipe. If I add this, if I add the other, if I stir it correctly, if I give it time to settle, if I bake it right, then it'll come out right. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm belaboring this perhaps, but I do want us today to have eyes that see with love, looking through the eyes of love. Mother Teresa once said that the poor and the hungry are Jesus in disguise. That's a part and parcel of what I'm saying here. What do you see? Do you see a lazy homeless person who's taking advantage of the world around them? Do you see a con man standing on the corner with a sign saying, I need food or I need gas? Do you see constantly just somebody trying to take advantage of you, take advantage of the world? Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I believe if we see every homeless, poor, disadvantaged soul as Jesus in disguise, it'll change us. And you know what could happen? Oh, yes, I know exactly what could happen because I've had it happen to me, and that is I could be used. I could end up having somebody con me. I mean, they might really be a con, and I might be giving money to somebody that'll use it for the wrong purposes. And that's happened to me, ladies and gentlemen, more than I can even recount for you how many times somebody's used me in my generosity. But I will not let my light be held under a bushel. I will not take my love and pull blinders over it so that love is not seeing anymore. That's too much of a price to pay. Love sees, and love will see past the obvious into the sublime and to the eternal. I know. I'm hearing you in my mind. I hear you say, but you've got to be smart about it. And I know that. I do my level best to be as smart as I know how. But you know, as smart as any of us can be, as planning as we might be, we're still invited to a larger world of love. The world of love puts yourself at a place of risk and vulnerability. Love is always at risk. That's what love is. Love is always in a place of risk. And sure, we should be as thoughtful as possible, as wise as possible, getting counsel from somebody else when we can. But in it all, we have to ask ourselves, how I started today's broadcast, about the hardest spiritual work. Barbara Brown Taylor, the hardest spiritual work in the world is to love your neighbor as yourself, to encounter another human being not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself if you will allow it. So I'll close with a couple of stories here for me. I know that my life has been so blessed. Honestly, I've been blessed in so many ways with experiences. One of the stories that I tell is about a time in my life in Texas when my kids were little and I was a pastor. We pastored a little town called Clyde, Texas, right on the interstate. And as a little town on the interstate, there was always somebody going east or west on that interstate. And on that interstate of people going east and west, there were a lot of transient folks. There were a lot of homeless people, a lot of people just journeying in life, and so many reasons. And I was in charge of a transient fund is what we called it. Well, my phone at home would ring often because it was the police department of that little town that kept that fund for us to protect the money and to protect me and to protect others. And they called me and said, "We got somebody here who needs some help, preacher." Well, I was in the middle of a night when I was tired. I wanted to be home with my kids, but duty called. Well, I took my tired self in the car, went to get this turned out to be an older gentleman. He needed a prescription. He was journeying on that interstate by hitchhiking. And he wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. He seemed a little distracted mentally. He seemed like life had a high toll on his mind and his body. So it was hard to communicate with, but he got real lucid at one moment, and he said, and I took him to get his prescription. I had to get a pharmacist out of his home to go open the drugstore. I took him to get a meal to eat, and I was on the way to take him to a little hotel on the edge of town. And this guy got very lucid for 1 minute. He said, "You know, preacher," he said, "the Bible says that when you entertain strangers, you entertain angels unaware. You may be unaware that you're entertaining an angel." And he said, "You know what, preacher? I might be an angel." Now, you ought to understand, I'm driving my car listening to this otherwise confused and not so lucid gentleman suddenly become very lucid. He said, "I might be your angel." And I looked at him and I said, "You know, you're right. You might be." I was weary of helping the poor at that moment, but in that very moment, he woke me up that my need to stay in love, to see him in love, was greater than my need just for some time at home. Well, to tell the rest of that story. Before we parted, he gave me an old Mercury Head dime, and he said, "I want you to have this." I've still got that Mercury Head dime. That's 40 years ago. I still got that Mercury Head dime, an old beat-up old dime. It kind of reminds me of that old beat-up gentleman. And it reminds me that I've got to stay in the vision of love. And the last words he said to me, shouting from the balcony of that little motel, he said, "I'll see you in heaven, preacher." And everybody in the parking lot and me looked up at him like, "You know what? I bet you're right." I need you to understand that life is not an easy path, but it will be made more beautiful by the way you see it. Love sees. Let's close today with two exercises I challenge you to do every time. Number one, I want you to breathe with me. Breathe deep. Let's go for it right now. Breathe deep. In and exhale. That feels good, doesn't it? Take another deep breath with me. Just a good long draw. In and out. That's life, is breathing. And when I exhale, it's important that I include three magic words in my breath. I love you. On a regular basis, make sure you find somebody you can look straight in the eye and make it awkward, make it a little weird, and just tell them three words maybe they haven't heard in days or maybe years. Just say it. I love you. It'll do you as much good as them. In fact, it may do you more good, because loving your neighbor as yourself is that hard work we're called to, but it will spring you from the prison of yourself. Thanks for being here again today on this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love are to me potential BS. Now go out there and do something beautiful in this world. Go find somebody that needs some beauty and do something beautiful for them. Because, oh, baby, ugly, ugly, ugly has been done to death. Let's be the people of love, the people of beauty. God bless you all. Thanks for being here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.